is old, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Okay, Connor, let's get up Psalm 37. Pull that up there for us as I get ready to roll here. Psalm about verse 37. Someplace I want to take. The Holy Spirit just spoke to me, literally. Just, I think it was him. I'm not sure. Sometimes I don't recognize that voice, but I'm pretty sure it was his voice. Hey, listen, man, we've been into some heavy stuff, haven't we, the last three days? Heavy, heavy stuff. And, you know, for us to say, we love to say that, how's that go? Well, Coach, that's not a salvation issue. We'll agree to disagree. But can I tell you the truth? We really won't. We really don't. We love to take our own pet doctrines and we love to make our own. See, there's nothing worse. Sorry. There's nothing worse than those who are closed-minded. And I'm talking to me as well. Now, I try to be as open-minded as I possibly can, try to give everybody as much grace as I possibly can. But I can feel, as I sit behind this microphone in this multi-million-dollar studio, behind this camera, in front of this microphone, I feel tension on non-essential issues. Anybody else say amen? Say amen. Say, well, Coach, we'll agree to disagree. No, we don't. We don't really.
Amen.
We
really don't. Amen.
And we want more on these non-essential issues, right? We say, well, that's not a salvation issue. That's non-essential. Yet I feel the tension rising because someone, guys, listen, here's the truth. This is Flea Flicker Friday, and I promised myself before I came down here today that I was going to be nice and make this Flea Flicker Friday. That's what I want to do. Bear with me a second, okay? Listen, as much as we don't want to admit this, as much as we don't want to talk about this, there is speaking in tongues, or there isn't. There ain't no middle ground. There is, or there isn't. There is a pre-tribulation rapture, or there isn't. You are once saved, always saved, or you're not. There is predestination, or there's not. And the problem that we have in Christianity is we want to fight over these non-essential issues. Let me pull this one out just because we've been talking about it. The Jews are God's chosen people or they're not. There is either no Greek or no Jew or there isn't. There is, I mean, folks, there ain't no middle ground. There isn't any middle ground. You're either saved by grace or you're not. We either have works either matter or they don't. All of these denominations that we see in America, which, by the way, has diluted the strength of the church, all of the denominations are denominated over non-essential issues. And I told you I was going to do a show on the essentials of the Christian faith, but I'm not going to do that today. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And until you wake up and I wake up and understand, are you ready? Some of what I may believe may not be true. And until you're willing to be honest and open about that, I mean, what are we going to do? Hey, dude, you might be wrong. You might have been living a doctrine your whole life, and you be wrong. I don't know. Arminianism what's dispensationalism? What's that called? I mean, Zionism.
Calvinism.
They can't all be right. And if you're a Calvinist, are you a better Christian than somebody who's an Arminian? You know what I'm trying to say. Are you a better Christian? If you're a Torah follower, are you better than a Christian person who's not a Torah follower?
Delusionism.
Delusionism. That's what, folks, that's what, that's, I was listening to Mike's show this morning as I was preparing my show. Mike kind of half listening, to be honest with you, because Mark Trump was across the table. We were kind of talking to each other. And I was listening. Listen, the Roman Catholics either got it right or they don't. They're either right about Mary and transubstantiation, and they're either right in confession or they're not right. There ain't no middle ground. Why do we act like there's a middle ground on these things, folks? Why do we? And because we act like there is middle ground, even though there isn't, you know this, don't you? You know, I know in my early Christian experience, when I got radically saved and I got sued by the ACLU and I woke up and I tried to come out and get churches to work together. I know this. I was trying to get a group of pastors together to do a youth group get together of all the youth groups in London where I was got sued by the ACLU, trying to bring them all together for one big youth rally. And you know what one of the pastors told me? He said, "Well, Coach Dave, I'm sorry, but we can't have our youth be part of that. We don't know what that doctrine is at that church." So what? Yeah, we don't know what their doctrine is. Oh, I get it. Your doctrine's right and their doctrine's wrong. I get it. What's the name of your church again? Open Bible Church. Oh, okay. Open the damn Bible. Pardon me for my French. That's what we're dealing with. And we look at, and we don't get it. We don't get it. Hey, listen, either God accepts homos or he doesn't. There ain't no middle ground on it. And what's the big fight going on in the church? Does he accept homos or not? Are you born that way or are you not born that way? I'm not frustrated. I'm trying to help those of you out there who are angry and don't even know why. If we question your doctrine, why do you get mad? Why do you get mad? I got an email yesterday. Oh, no, Coach, you try to hide it well, but I know what you really believe. Oh, yeah, let me tell you, dude, I don't even know what I really believe sometimes. God bless you for being best friends with the Holy Spirit, and he can tell you what I really believe. And by the way, if the Holy Spirit tells me something, is he lying to me? Holy Spirit lying to me now? Well, that's not what the Spirit said to me. Well, then he must be schizophrenic. Is the Holy Spirit schizophrenic? There's no Jew. There's no Greek. Just read it right here. No Jew, no Greek. Where was that? And to Abraham and his seed was a promise made. He said, not into seeds as of many, but of one. And that to that seed, which was Christ. Christ was the seed. And this I say, that the covenant was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years afterwards cannot disannul, that it should make the promise none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by the promise. Wherefore the law is the schoolmaster. For ye all are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. I don't know what's so hard about that. And all I tried to do yesterday in the last couple of days, and I don't want to get on it again today because I want to go a different direction. I just asked the question, are the Jews a race or a religion? And it goes into stuff. We just go boom. We can't even answer that question.
Hey, Coach, yes, we can. Of course we can answer that. The answer is they're a race. And the reason for that is the Jews are a race because a religion can't get Tay-Sachs disease. A religion can't get Bloom's syndrome.
Hey, Vinny, there's somebody watching right now that thinks that you're just lost. You're just confused.
Tell them they need to read along and
No. But see, you think you're right, and they think you're wrong. And they think you're wrong because they're right. You understand? I'm not making fun of you, Vinny.
No, I understand, of course.
This is the battle, right? This is the battle that we have. We call them non-essentials, yet we go to war on non-essentials.
Well, that's the whole thing.
I went all day yesterday. I'm just telling you about me. I went all day yesterday and never once, after the show, thought about Israel. Never once in all of my prayers and all my thoughts yesterday did I have one thought towards Israel. Now, I had thoughts towards the public schools and the babies that were being aborted. I had a lot of thoughts towards those. And the homosexuality is being taught in our schools. I had a lot of thought about those because I can do something. I didn't have one thought about Israel. Not one. I know a guy right now, and I'm not going to I'm not going to say without his permission. I know this to be true. Let me see if he's in here today, and I'll call him and see if he wants to share what happened to him. And I see him. Hey, Rob Pugh, you willing to come in and share with us what happened to you? Maybe you don't want to do that, Rob. I don't want you to jeopardize anything. But maybe you could tell that story that what happened to you, Rob, when you came out and said something about a – okay, yeah, Rob said not today, Coach. I get it, man. Okay, I won't go there either then. Hey, we agree to disagree, brother. That's non-essential. We agree to disagree. But listen, if you keep teaching that, doctrine, I'm not watching it anymore. Yeah, come on. Give me one. Hey, somebody come on in here. I'm gonna lighten up for a minute because I really came down today wanting to lighten up because we've been kind of heavy last few days. But I respect every one of you. We had a great after show yesterday. And Randy Lunsford, God bless Randy Lunsford, and God bless Alan Zeifer. They are totally polar opposites in what they believe. And they love each other. And they don't want to beat each other up. And as far as I know, Alan didn't say, I'm not tuning in anymore. And Randy didn't say, I'm not tuning in anymore. They both agreed that let's not go to war over this. It doesn't even matter. That's why I love it. That's the way it should be. Free flow of ideas. Free flow of them. That's what I'm about. That's where I'm trying to go. Let me jump in here real quickly. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, let me just kind of frame the rest of what we're going to be doing, what you're talking about this subject in some scripture here. Go to Romans 14, verses 5 and 6. Romans 14, verses 5 and 6. And this is Paul.
Romans 14.
Paul writing at the unction of the Holy Spirit, of course. And it says, one man esteemeth one day above another. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord. For he that giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. So Paul is saying there are certain things that you're not going to agree on, but let one be convinced in his own mind. Don't make your mind the judge and jury and executioner of other people's minds in certain areas.
Amen. Amen. So Larry, let me call time out real quick. I want to open it up here without going
Coach,
into great.
Coach Ritter, Coach, exactly what Larry was talking about. This is not a tyranny. That's the whole point. There, like you're saying, it has to be a free flow of ideas. And if you agree or if you don't, it's yours. You do what you need to do with it.
Amen. That's right. Don't be like Oprah and say we have to live by your truth. No, there's only one truth. There really is only one truth. And we have to strive to get that. And I'm just curious right now. I'm not going to take the time to do it. But how many of you would raise your hand right now and say, Coach, I got to tell you something. Over the last 3.5 years, I've been watching this show. Boy, my opinion's changed on a lot of different things. My opinion's changed on this. Boy, my opinion's changed on this. And I believe this my whole life. And now I'm really beginning to question that. Raise your hand. Yeah, okay, I see your hands out there. And see, I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. Hey, I'm going to tell a miracle of the Lord happened. Vic, our old good buddy Vic, who is like the squeaky wheel, continues. He doesn't stop until he gets the grease. Somewhere out in New York, when we went to Chappaqua, New York, we ordered our Equal Justice business cards. We ordered a bunch of them. That was the first order we placed, was in Elmsford, New York. And about 2 weeks ago, Vic got a call from Elmsford, New York, Staples, and said, hey, your cards are ready, sort of. And Vic says, well, what cards? He said, well, the cards that you ordered. We have 4,000 business cards here, Equal Justice business cards here. And your name's on the order. And Vic said, what? And then he said, the big $1,000 question, are they paid for? Yeah, they're paid for. There's 4,000 here, business cards paid for with your name on them. Vic calls me. No, I don't know what you're talking about. I call corporate. They don't know what I'm talking about. I said, well, they're just going to throw those things away. What are they going to do with them? So I said, Vic, man, get to work on it. Your name's on it. Get to work on it. Vic got to work on it, and he bugged him and bugged him and bugged him and bugged him and bugged him. Cards are paid for. We don't know who are, but there's 4,000 cards sitting in Elmsford, New York. And we're going to go to Branson, Missouri, and we need some cards. I said, Vic, get on it. Vic got on it, and yesterday 4,000 cards showed up in my house, shipped to us from Elmsford, New York. 4,000 business cards that somebody ordered, paid for, and they were just sitting on the shelf, and now we have them for Elmsford, New York. So tip of the cap to Vic for being persistent, Vic. God bless you, man. And we got a bunch of cards to hand out this weekend. It's going to be my goal to get rid of all 4,000 of them, and then some. So join us in Branson if you can this weekend. Saturday it begins about 2 o'clock. All the information is on our website. You know how to go to the website and find it. We'd love to have you come and fellowship and be part of it. We're nearing 50 people that are going to show, coming from all over America. And we'd love for you all to be there. Then this, we have a new one for you. September 13th and 14th. Well, y'all see my schedule. I'm not complaining. You just all see my schedule. We're going to be in Maine, the state of September 13th and 14th. We are having a boot camp, get together, a huddle, whatever, in Topham, Maine, at a place called Sky High, if I believe it or not, that's where we're going to be. And it really kind of stepped on my schedule, because that's when Steve Quayle's conference is in Branson, Missouri, and I was going to go out and be part of that. But I think this is going to be more important. So I'm going to end up in Maine. So Chris and those of you guys are up that way looking for some place to get involved, New Hampshire, Matt's nephew, you guys want to get involved? Come, man. Come on. We're going to be in Maine September 13th and 14th. I don't know if we have that up on the calendar book yet there at the events, but we're going to be there. Okay? Cool.
We're going to hold off the snow, Coach. We won't let it snow on the 14th.
Yeah, it's not going to snow then. And Jack, I'm going to come up. I'm going to shoot me a moose. Find me a moose. I'm going to shoot it. I'm going to go over and cut its throat. I'm going to bleed it out. I'm going to pull its intestines out. I'm going to skin it, and we'll take it home and cook it and eat it. So that's what we're going to do.
Delicious.
That sounds barbaric, doesn't it, folks?
No, it was a tough meal. Sounds great.
No, that's the way people used to live, by the way. Live like that, did we not? Yeah. Hey, I got to do that too. This is supposed to be a flea flicker Friday, but hey, Connor, go to my email. I sent you memes. I just thought it was time for a little bit of lighthearted stuff here today. And somebody emailed me this. I don't know who it was, but I thought, you know, this is good. This is really good. You believe James Comey got off, huh? Hey, Reese. Okay, so this is just some memes that somebody sent to me. It's my granddaughter. You want to hear her, she can listen right in there. She had both two of our girlfriends last night. Okay, just scroll down through these memes. When your enemies all commit suicide, guess I'm just lucky. There we go. Just scroll on down through there. Guess I'm just lucky. That nap you take when you are scheduled to testify against the Clintons. Look at this one. Scroll down there. A clear case of suicide. Got all the evidence, knife in the stomach, gun. Oh, yeah, it's clearly suicide. Next one. Government can't protect one rich guy in prison on suicide watch yet. We need disarming for our safety. Let that sink in. Amen. Yeah. Just a couple more here. The face you make when you have to testify against the Clintons. Should have kept your mouth shut. I know nothing. People got too much time on their hands. And just like that, he committed suicide. How many people have to be born to die before we ban the Clintons? Amen. Amen. Ban the Clintons. One more. Let's see here. If you're shocked Epstein killed himself last night, imagine how surprised he was. Okay, just a little light. Oh, and I got to do this one too. Guess who isn't worried about the Jeffrey Epstein schedule or scandal? On and on. Okay, enough laughing. I'm going to shut up. Well, one more. Want to get rid of Kim Jong-il? Start a rumor that he has dirt on Hillary. Get rid of him. All right. I'm going to shut up a minute. Anybody come in for the good of the group?
Hey, Coach, did you happen to see the second hour down there with Doug last night? He had that lady, Celeste Bishop Solomon.
The Hagman Report Vic's talking about.
You got to listen to that one. But okay. On before, what's his name?
Austin Brewer.
Yeah. He came on. Dude, he stumbled onto a story that's called HARPA. And everybody that uses that Fitbit, that uses the Apple Watch or any kind of that iteration of that kind of stuff.
You mean this thing?
Yes, sir. That stuff, they're going to use it with this new department that they're trying to create. And that one is going to be so that they can preempt if you're going to go off the deep end. You got to read the article, and it's pretty wild. They're going to go into this mental health thing that it's gonna trip you out. Forget the red flags.
Hey, Vic, who are they? Who are they?
I would say it's the cabal that just rallies around the Clintonistas.
That deep state, you mean? Did you guys know this? Did you know that I saw this morning that Comey, the documents that Comey took home were reclassified so that they were not top secret. And does anybody know who reclassified those documents? Whose job that was? Why, yes, McCabe and Stroke and Bill Priestap and the lawyer. They're the ones. After Comey took it home, the FBI said, "Oh, those are reclassified." They're Ray. It's like a banana republic, isn't it? It really is. So they is they. There is a they. There is a they. And they're nefarious and they're at work. And Vic's told me to take off my. This makes me think I'm exercising when I'm really, really not. Anyway, gotcha. By the way, I was on Hagman last night, and I thought it was a hot 20-minute segment. It was a hot one. And so if you get a chance, evidently watch the entire Hagman Report. I didn't get to watch Austin. Excuse me, and I didn't get to watch after that. I just had too much stuff going on, but I'll get to it. Anybody else throw something on the table here? Excuse me.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
I was in Santa Rosa, California, and I was preached outside of Presbyterian USA at the same-sex confirmation. Everything was going great. But the woman pastor came out. And she used solo risky dialect tactics on me, the Democrat narrative, and call the cops on me. The cop favored the woman over me, because I called her ignorant, a bigot, and all that kind of stuff. But I've never said idiot. And cops just went ballistic, and I almost got arrested. I said I walked away, and he came in and chased me down and threatened this and that, and got my name and everything. The thing is, my discussion with that lady was total gray area, and she used the so homosexual agenda and the lies and the state, and it's just amazing.
Well, see, here's the thing, Jeff. It isn't amazing. The police are not on our side. They're not on Christian free speech side. They're not on our side. I know of a case, and I don't want to go into too much detail, of a clear case of assault that resulted in a property being destroyed, and the copies of the thing were sent to the police, the detectives. A complaint was filed. The evidence was sent to the police, including 4 eyewitness testimonies. And what did the prosecutor determine? Not enough evidence. So 4 eyewitness testimony isn't evidence anymore, I guess. That's not evidence. It's a justice system. It's not a legal system. So somebody in that prosecutor's office decided, we're not gonna mess with that. That's those Christians. They deserve it. And 4 eyewitnesses. I could have gotten 10. I could put 10 people on the stage, on this witness stand, say, yes, that was done. Yes, I witnessed it. Yes, but it doesn't matter. Right? It doesn't matter because 10 against 1, that's not very good odds. 10 against 1. Wouldn't want to do that. That's kind of stuff we're fighting, Jeff. So, folks, if you're involved in any type of free speech and you're a Christian, you better know something. The police will not be on your side. They won't. They're not going to be on your side. Somebody else, come on in.
Coach, this is Mike.
Hey, Mike.
I want to talk about Maine for just a minute. You know, I launched a crusade against Jezebel Janet Kills last year after you went to Clinton's house.
They don't even know who that is. Who's Jezebel Janet Kills?
She's the governor. Her real name is Janet. Janet Mills, and she's a hardcore feminist leftist, and she's the governor. And so I launched the crusade against her. I was inspired to do it by you, by when you went to Clinton's house in the spring. And so we went up there, we prayed in the state house, and the ministry that I led launched some people's vetoes, and the deadline for those people's vetoes is coming due at the same time that you're going to come to Maine. But I don't think that they're you know, God bless them, they're fighting on abortion and stuff, but I think that the strategy they chose is ill-advised, and we need to go personal against the governor. So thanks for making the decision to forego quail and to come to Maine. I think it's the Holy Spirit who's leading us there on that weekend. I want to go to the governor's office with you, and we're going to do signs at the Maine State House, and we're going to do something, maybe a press conference, in the Hall of Flags, which is just outside the governor's door in the state of Maine.
So, Mike, we've reached a point in Maine, and we've reached a point in America, that the focus of the battle for the church is just to please, we want to keep our religious freedom. That's how far we've fallen, right, Mike? We just please government, please don't silence our voice. Please, please let us continue to speak. We promise we won't speak against homosexuality. We promise we won't speak against deviant sex. We promise, please, please. That's where the battle's going, is it not, Mike?
Right, but that's not what you and I are going to do in Maine that weekend. In the name of Jesus Christ, we're going to be attacking personally the governor. Personally, yes, it is personal. We're not going to make any excuses and say, no, it's nice, love, 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 tolerant of all ideas, yada, yada, yada. No, no, no. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are going to go after personally the governor of Maine.
Amen, amen, amen. Call him out, man. Call him out. A meme I wrote down today. Here's a meme. I wrote my own meme, Robert. Here's what I know. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. It's true, isn't it? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to see marriage restored, but nobody wants to fight for it. Everybody wants to see wickedness end, but nobody wants to lay their head on the chopping block. Everyone wants to see government restored to a godly government, but nobody wants to go out and have to fight to do that. Everyone wants religious freedom restored, but the churches won't stand up and fight about it. They talk about this glorious kingdom, this glorious heaven, this glorious place that we're heading to, and then they hang on for dear life to the shopping cart here where we are right now. See, our behavior doesn't act what we claim to believe. We should be the most bold, fearless of all God's creation. Why? I know this. My Bible tells me that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. My Bible, my entire Christian training in my life has been that when I die, I go to be with my Savior. That Ecclesiastes 7. Connor, can you pull that up there real quick? Ecclesiastes 7. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Can I tell you the truth? I don't want to die. I don't want to. I love my grandkids. I love my wife. I love the frills that I have in life. I love all those things. I love them all. I get up every day and I thank God for the breath in my lungs and my heart's beating and this beautiful house that I have and this loving wife. And yeah, with all the headaches and all the problems, I wouldn't want to choose death. Why would I want to do that? I got the best life. Now, if I was in the Sudan, if I was in the Middle East and they were chopping off heads, then maybe be a little bit better. But Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1, I don't know how we get by this one, boys and girls. I don't know how the church gets by this one. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of wise is in the house of mourning. but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. I said this yesterday, kind of got me in trouble, and I'm not trying to get in trouble. I'm not trying to. My intention is never to offend anyone. I get emails sometimes saying, gee, thanks for talking about me today. And I'm, what? Talking about you? When was I talking about you? So I'm not talking about anybody today. Okay? But here's where my logic takes me. My logic takes me. If we're all calling for, say, oh, Jesus, come quickly, Lord. Oh, Jesus, come quickly. I'm standing anxiously waiting for Jesus to come. Oh, Lord, then if you want Jesus to come, then let's turn our back on Israel real quick. Let's turn our back on him. Because if we turn our back on Israel, well, he'll be here in a hurry. That's where my logic takes me. Somebody help me. Am I disagreeing with that? Or disagree with anything I said? Hey, can I tell you something? You're all afraid to die. Y'all are.
No.
I'm not afraid to. I don't want to. I don't want to die. You mean I might go do something? And the police are gonna get mad and throw me in jail? Well, who's gonna hug Reese when I'm going? Who's gonna hug her? I can't do that. Maybe I can get Larry to go to jail for me. Maybe I can get Dale. Maybe somebody else. I can't do it. I'd love to, you know. I'd love to, but I got my job and my house. I just can't do it, you know. I just can't, but man, I sure hope somebody does.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
We have to worship biblical Israel, not man-made Israel. Man-made Israel is the gay capital of the world. It's nothing that Jesus wants to come back to. Okay,
well, you're poking a bear again, Vinny. You're poking a bear.
I'm sorry.
Those who don't agree with you, Vinny, and you're not going to be friends with them anymore.
We can agree to disagree. That's the whole point. But they can't stifle me. They can't stop me from talking, and they shouldn't try to ban me. Like they're doing on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, even though they call themselves free speech platforms. It's a bunch of nonsense.
By the way, folks, I've never banned anybody on this show. I've never banned anybody on YouTube from commenting on you. I get that one all the time, too. I'm with you, Vinny.
Hey, Coach, Vinny, we got to careful of the words we use. I don't worship Israel of any kind, any sort, anything. I worship the one true living God, and that's all.
Amen. And I don't keep doubling back.
There's a difference between respect and worship. I can respect, I can appreciate. And I can learn from, but I don't worship them.
Amen. Amen. I'm with you. I'm with you. I hope.
Coach?
Yep. Go ahead.
You know, on a street page, I've got bicycle riders going to run me over. Cars come over to the curbs. Spirit force is coming up on the sidewalk and run me over. I get the finger. I get cussing. People in the diesel trucks accelerate into the fumes in the air. Okay, come pretty close.
And Jeff, the churches tell you you're wrong. You shouldn't be out there. If you weren't out there poking that bear, they wouldn't be doing that to you. You brought it on yourself. That's what the cops said at the gay pride parade. That's what they said to us. You know what you're walking into. You don't have to be here. That's what the cops said to us when we're asking to protect our free speech. Hey, Jeff, quit whining. You know what you're going to get when you go out there, right? I'm not making fun of you, Jeff. Just telling you, we're at war and we don't want to realize that we are. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die.
I know my position. I am willing to die for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, you better be. You better be, because let's see, everybody's going to die. Some are going to die for the Lord Jesus Christ, and some are going to die for themselves. Some are going to die for cocaine, and some are going to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all going to die. We're all going to die. Who are you going to die for, and what are you going to die for? I think that's one thing I can pick. I can't pick when I'm going to die or how I'm going to die, but I can pick for who I'm going to die. And my Bible says that the day that I die, it's going to be a glorious day. We don't believe that, though. We worship ourselves. We worship our culture. We worship money. We worship stuff. We worship our children. We worship everything except. See, that's why the Lord said that he came to bring enmity between you and your wife. Between a husband and his wife, between a father and adult children. Because if you put anything before your relationship with Christ, that's what he meant. Not that he wants, Jesus doesn't want husbands and wives fighting. That's not what he's saying. said, I have to be premier. I have to be first and foremost. And if you put anything between it, there's going to be strife. It ain't going to work for you. So I thank God for my wife. We're there, man. We are there. And sometimes she wants to beat me over the head with a pancake, but I always know she loves me. She always loves me. And I know it. And I always love her. And I always support her, and she always supports me. Do we treat brothers and sisters like that? Do the Presbyterians and the Methodists treat each other like that? Do they? Do the Lutherans and the Catholics? Do the tongue talkers and the non-tongue talkers? Well, of course we don't. Somebody come on in here. I feel like I'm just kind of rambling, not making any sense.
It's not tyrannical, Coach.
Absolutely not.
Hello. Hello, Reese. I see you.
She's something, isn't she?
She's a beautiful Dobbenmeyer. Well, I mean, just expanded, but.
Well, that's true, because Reese and I have been talking about that. And listen to this. I'm without prompting. Reese's not just a Dobbenmeyer. I said, listen, even though her name's not Dobbenmeyer, because her daddy has a different name, I said, no, you're a Dobbenmeyer. But then I made it more specific. What? Tell him, Reese, what is it?
I'm a David Dobbenmeyer.
You're not just a Dobbenmeyer. You're a David Dobbenmeyer. You're not just from the Dobbenmeyer lineage. You are from the what lineage?
The David Dobbenmeyer
lineage, right?
Amen.
And that everywhere she goes, forever, forever, ever, David Dobbenmeyer is going to live in her. And through her, and through her grandbabies, and through her great-grandbabies. Amen. And I was telling Rachel the other day, 25, 40, 50 years from now, when Sky High is going to go gangbusters and people are being trained and radically saved up at Sky High, Reese's going to be able to tell them, who started that?
David Dobbenmeyer.
And I'm of the David Dobbenmeyer lineage. Not a pride thing, but the reality of she's being in the David Dobbenmeyer kingdom. Quotes, hey, right wing watch, that's quote. I'm not like Trump saying that I'm the chosen one, okay? But she's in a holy priesthood. Why? Because I'm the holy priest of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should train our children in that same lineage. And what a lot of us, I did a good enough job with some of our kids, didn't do it with all of them. And here's a great lineage right here. I'm sorry, how do I get talking about that? Because it's Flea Flicker Friday. So she's of the David Dobbenmeyer lineage. Cool, huh? Somebody else, you want me to pull something up off the screen here? It's Flea Flicker Friday. You guys are supposed
to. But Dave, we're going to go to Psalms 37.
Thank you, Chad. Thank you, Chad. Man, Psalm 37. Am I looking at the wrong sheet? No, I'm in right there. Okay. Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Hey, David, neither be you envious against the workers of iniquity. We have a tendency to do that, don't we? First of all, don't be scared of the evildoers and don't fret against them. Okay? For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord. Does it just say trust in the Lord? No. Trust in the Lord and do good. So that thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And he's going to give you the desires of your heart. Most misunderstood scripture in all of evangelificism, right there. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Folks, that doesn't mean he's going to give you what you want, your heart's desire. He is going to give you the desire. He's going to put in your heart things that he wants you to desire. He's going to give you the desires of your heart. He's not going to fulfill the desires of your heart. Commit your way into the Lord. Trust also in him, and he's going to bring it to pass. Hey, Trump, you're going to get whatever job you're supposed to get. Commit your ways unto him. Trust in him, and he's going to give it. Mark's up there. That's what I'm saying. And he shall bring forth the righteousness as the light and the judgment as the noonday. These aren't maybes. David's crawling under here. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't worry about that stuff. Cease from anger and forsake wrath, and fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. for evildoers shall be cut off. Folks, this is a promise. This is the word of God. But those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Wait on the Lord. I see that as a waiter and a waitress waiting on them, serving the Lord. Not those who sit in the corner and wait. Get up and serve the Lord. But those that serve the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek, the controlled, those anointed by God, under control, they're going to inherit the earth. And see, we're not going to inherit the heavens. We're going to inherit the earth. Why? Because there's going to be a new Jerusalem set up here. For 1,000 years, we're going to reign here. We're going to inherit the earth. We shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just. Do we see that? Comey? The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. And the Lord laughs at him. For he seeth that his day's coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. It's going to happen, my friends. A little that a righteous man hath, the very little that I have, is better than all the money that Bill Gates has. I can promise you that. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken. I thought Jesus loved everybody. For the arms of the wicked, Jesus loves you, brother. The arms of the wicked shall be broken. But the Lord upholds those fighting for equal justice. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They're not going to be ashamed in the evil time. I'm not ashamed in this evil time. I am not ashamed in this evil time. And in the days of famine, they're going to be satisfied. But, Reese, read that for me.
But the wicked
shall say it loud, because they got to hear you.
But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as fat of lambs. As fat as the lambs, they shall consume, until smoke shall they consume away.
The wicked borrow. Our government borrows, and they don't pay back. But the righteous show mercy and give. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. And they that be cursed of him, they're going to be cut off. We're not all equal before the Lord. Here's where I'm heading. This is my life verse. First book I ever wrote. Psalms 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Hey, Mark Trump, you're on a journey. Delight in it. Though Amen. He fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord's upholding him with his hands. I've been young, and now I'm old, Reese. Look at this. I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Folks, this is some powerful stuff we're reading right here. He's ever merciful and lendeth. Wow. Do you ever borrow from the Lord and have him not make you pay it back? And his seed is blessed. Somebody help me here. Somebody help me here. Who's his seed? Can somebody tell me who his seed is?
We are his seed, brother.
Who's we, Vinny?
We the people, the chosen.
Who's his people?
The righteous.
The righteous.
The righteous are his seed. Amen. The righteous. And how are you made righteous? You made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot be righteous on your own. I hate to tell you this. Those people living in Israel are not righteous. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. By the way, who's his seed? Oh, we did that, didn't we? Depart from evil, do good, dwell forevermore, for the Lord loveth equal justice. The Lord loves judgment. You see that? See that, Reese? For the Lord loves judgment. And he doesn't forsake his saints. They're preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Jesus loves you, brother. Jesus loves you. The righteous shall inherit the earth, the land. And we're going to live there forever. Why? Because there's a new Jerusalem coming. The mouth of the righteous shall speak wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and try to kill him. You might say amen. You don't have to. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord. Serve the Lord. Keep his way. And he's going to exalt you to inherit the land. What land? The New Jerusalem. This land right here, right now. When the wicked are cut off, you're going to see it, he says. I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he wasn't anymore. Yeah, I saw him, but nope, he couldn't find that dude. Mark the perfect man and uphold the upright, for the end of the man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in times of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they trust in him. And he's a good daddy. And he's a good father. He said, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm going to take care of you. And you trust in me. And you go fight for me. And I'm going to take care of you. We pulled it off. Okay. What do you think of that one, boys? Huh? What do you think of that one? Come on in here. Help me out this morning.
Awesome, brother. Awesome.
Free Flicker Friday. Well, Brother Dave, I believe that's Old Testament, Brother Dave. And I appreciate your zeal. But Brother Dave, that was not what that means there, Brother Dave. Really?
Brother Dave, that was powerful.
It is powerful. Why? It's just the word, right? It's just the stinking word. And see, we in the church, and this is what Mike Heath was talking about this on his show today, we in the church, we don't even want to recognize wicked. We don't want to call anybody wicked. We don't want to recognize the fact that there are wicked people in the world. The church won't. The church will not call out wickedness because they want to be. I heard it. Thank you, Lord. Because that's the pride of life, isn't it? Churches want to be loved by the world, accepted by the world. Pastors want to appear on Fox News. They want to be able to be on the Salem Radio Network. You can't say anything controversial and be on Salem Radio Network. No, because if you say that, well, the world's going to look at us and they're going to think we're mean. I'm all over today.
This weekend, I was watching this guy named Justin Peters, and he took all the dangerous doctrines, Joel Osteen and company, all of them, partially, all of them, and he took little segments of each one where they would say something, and then he'd go back and he'd give his opinion. And I'm telling you, it's so blasphemous. It's incredible.
Vic, we just have to agree to disagree.
Really? Is that what you're going to tell Jesus Christ when he asks you, what did you do? What you're going to do? You're going to tell him, we just need to agree to disagree?
Do you think Jesus agrees to disagree? Do you think he has, that's a standard that he has in heaven?
No. No, he doesn't.
The world is so messed up.
He wants you to honor his word, and the word is God, and God is the word. That's what he expects you to do. Yeah. That's how you love your Lord. That's how you love your heavenly Father.
Vic, here's what's happened. They've convinced us, they've mistaught us in church, that the greatest thing we can do is show love towards those workers of iniquity. That's what they teach us, see? And that's what, Coach, you're not showing much love. I sure am.
But Dave,
I'm showing a lot of love because I'm fighting wicked to preserve her future. That's love. I love her.
Hey, Dave.
I love her. Go ahead, Chad.
Well, I was just going to say that, we have to be careful not to exalt ourselves. I just mean as these preachers and stuff, some of these preachers and stuff, not all of them, exalt ourselves. We need to, lift up the Lord, give him credit for everything successful. I think we give the Lord the credit, and everything we fail in, we have to take credit for that for ourselves.
That's right. And the Lord will make good out of it. That was his promise. Good word, Chad. Somebody tried to come in.
Yeah. Coach, you just had a mic drop question that you asked Vic a second ago. You said, do you think that is the standard Jesus applies in heaven? And obviously it's not. Jesus applies the standard of God's, God's word, because Jesus was God's word.
So agree to disagree. That's not Jesus' standard.
No, agree to disagree is not the standard that Jesus had. But here's the key, the mic drop of your question. Jesus taught us to pray in our prayer, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. If that's not Jesus' standard in heaven, then by God, it should not be Jesus' standard here on earth.
Amen, Larry. See, it's the creeping in of the humanism, right? The pride of life, right? You can't build a big, you can't build a big church, folks. You can't build a big church if you sound mean to the world, right? That's what they tell us. Yep, many.
We're under the new covenant, right? This is the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, he said this is the covenant. Love your neighbors yourself and love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Okay, it's pretty simple. But Coach, a covenant is conditional. It's always two ways. If you obey me, if you keep my commandments, then I will bless you.
Yeah. And it's only simple if you understand the meaning of the word neighbor there. If you take a misunderstanding of neighbor, then it's not a simple concept.
And what Coach is saying, Larry, if love, what does love do? Love corrects. Love cares. Love
protects.
Love protects. Not tolerate. Love, the definition of love to a lot of the churches is tolerating. It's not really love. So we are loving by telling them the truth, by standing up for justice, by standing up for what's right and true. We are loving.
I'm loving my grandchildren by standing up against evil. I don't love evil. I love my grandchildren. I'm for their future. And that causes me as a Christian man to oppose some things.
But getting back to what I was going to say on the covenant. If we don't do that, then God says, well, then I really can't bless you. It is conditional. God wants to bless us, but all you read there in Psalm 37, if it says, if you do these things, then all these blessings are going to come upon you. That is still true today. It's still, even though we're under the new covenant, Jesus fulfilled all that, but still in Christ, we still have to do what's right. We have to receive the blessings of God. We have to do what's right.
So, folks, what if God really, really, really had a specific purpose for you, a specific duty, a specific thing for you to do, and he marked you and he said, go do this for me, and you didn't do it out of fear?
Now, that's a good question, Coach. That's a very good question.
That would be terrible, wouldn't it? That'd be terrible. Yeah. Say, Lord, I couldn't do it because if I did that, Lord, they'd throw me in jail and they'd take me away from my family, and I don't know how my wife and children would be able to survive. So Lord, I'm sorry. I know I should have done, but I couldn't do that to my family. Really?
You know, I heard a preacher one time say, if God can't do something with you and he wants it done, he'll get it done in spite of you.
Amen.
He'll find somebody else to do it. He'll certainly find somebody else to do it. See, what am I saying? I guess if it's a theme here today, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to see the world, but nobody wants to do anything. Everybody wants to win, but nobody wants to fight. Yeah, Vic.
The thing is, it's that, just imagine the people that got shot here in El Paso. And, you know, everybody, they have their idea of what goes on. And I told them, you're either inside the umbrella that Heavenly Father is providing, and when you're inside that umbrella, you don't get wet. You step outside of that umbrella, you're going to get wet. Those folks, for an instant, they were outside the umbrella, and they didn't have the protection. And that's as simple as I can put it. You're either in or you're out.
Now, Vic, I'm going to argue with you here publicly. Because sometimes people are under the umbrella and they get harmed. But you have to understand that even if that happens, that's the will of God, right? That's why
we're
ready in season and out of season. Even though I'm dwelling under the secret place of the Most High and abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, it doesn't mean that my moment could come at any time. But to know this, that whatever came upon you did not come without the approval of the Lord. The Lord permitted it. And if we look at our lives today just as a natural, carnal, worldly thing, then we're not going to understand the things of the Lord. We're not going to, folks, listen, I'm going to tell you, listen to me. Listen to me. If you're a Christian, are you hearing me? Are you, quit running your mixer. Quit making pancakes a minute. Turn everything down and listen to me. If you are a Christian, you will never die. I'm going to say it again because you didn't get it. If you've received Christ as your Savior and you've been crucified with him and nevertheless you live, you're never going to die, folks. You're never, ever, ever going to die.
Ever. Coach is right. Coach, you're right. You know why? We're here on loan. These bodies are on loan. Okay? This vessel doesn't belong to us. This vessel belongs to God. He lent it to us to pass through this gateway. And this gateway is where we prove our worth. If we want to go to heaven, you prove your worth because he gave already. He did his part. It's up to us to fulfill our part of the bargain. We don't fulfill that part.
Here I am, Lord. Send me. Why? Because you're not your own. And if you are led into something that costs you your life or your liberty, boys and girls, Paul taught us that. Who will deliver me from this body of death? This is not, I'm no longer me. This ain't me. I'm living in this suit, but this ain't me. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to have eternal life. And yet we are so manipulated and controlled by this worldly suit that we're in. Feeding this thing, pampering this thing, working out. Not that we shouldn't take care of our bodies. What we eat, we're so consumed by it. That's why I say when you go on a fast, you get in touch with that inner man. You get in touch with that spiritual man, the one that's going to live forever, that doesn't need food three times a day, every day. You get in touch with him. You say, wow, there's something more to this than just eating and drinking. There's something more to this. That's where the Lord wants to get all of us. He wants to get all of us.
Coach, when we understand that, we are a living sacrifice. Paul said, that's just your reasonable service.
That's right.
I mean, that's simple. And we don't even want to go there as a Christian, a lot of people. And I've been there, but I'm willing to do that now. I want to lay my life down. So.
Amen. Well, you already have, right? Hey, Randy, you went and laid hands on that there at Hillary's.
But, Coach, every day I lay down my life for my neighbors, friends, people. I you know, you do that. We do that. That's what our reasonable service is. I mean, that's not even hard.
Amen, brother.
Would it be reasonable of a service for me to go – make a fuss at the local school board to protect the children there from homosexuality? Randy, would that be reasonable service? Or would it be
reasonable? That is a reasonable service.
Yeah. Would it be reasonable service? I'm going to step on some toes, okay? I'm sorry. Is it your reasonable service to give book bags to kids going to school? Does that glorify the Lord? Send them in on that yellow school bus from hell, but give them a new book bag?
Not really.
Well, which one's the church doing? Which one is the church doing? I would like to have a show of hands of how many people out there have a church that bought book bags for kids to go to the gates of hell. Yeah, you don't have to raise your hands. You know what I'm saying.
Right, to be indoctrinated. Yeah,
that's a loving thing to do. Well, yeah, it might be a loving thing to do. The loving thing to do would be to go close down those hell holes. That'd be the loving thing to do.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Enough. Amen.
Fake love, see? Fake love. It's fake love. It's false love.
Well, Dave, the church is giving the emotional feel-good stuff while they're neglecting the controversial stuff.
Yeah. Amen. Amen, Chad. You think did Jesus hand out book bags? Is that what he did? He went around handing out book bags? No. No,
he didn't. What does that cost you, Coach? That doesn't cost you anything to be in the culture, to be accepted. No. But when you go against it, That costs you your life. That costs you laying down your life right there.
What? But because, Randy, if I give book bags to children, we look good to the world. Oh, I want to go to church there. They take care of the children with their book bags. Yeah. No. No, the entire church ought to be down to school board meeting demanding the homosexual agenda be taken out of the school. That's what would glorify the Lord. But why aren't we going to do that? Well, I tell you, right here it says it. Because everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Hope to see a lot of you in Branson. Have a great weekend, 3-day weekend. Say, Coach, are you doing your show on Monday on Labor Day? Yeah, because on Labor Day you work. You don't take a day off. It's Labor Day. We'll be here Monday morning. God bless you. We'll see you then.